in logic classes in college, sometimes the teacher will give a certain riddle to the students to teach them the importance of logic and truth. And here's the riddle as I heard it. Once upon a time, there was a traveler in a strange land, and he had to pass through that land to his destination. But he was told that there were two cities on the way, and one of them he should go through and the other one he should avoid. For in one of the cities, everybody was very hospitable and they always told the truth. But in the other village, oh, they always lied and they were cutthroats and thieves. So the traveler comes to a crossroads. And at the crossroads, he finds two men, one from each village. And each one says, come and pass through my village. And the question is, how do you know which one is which? What question would you ask to find out which man comes from the village of the truth tellers or the liars? If you were to say to one of them, are you speaking the truth? He would say yes. And the liar would also say yes. And if you were to say, are you lying? The truth teller would say no. But the liar would also lie and say no. And so it goes, what question would you ask to find out the difference? Think about it. And if you're nice to me, I might tell you the answer. How do you find out the difference between lies and the truth? It's an old question that people have asked almost since the beginning of human history. What is truth? And how can we tell the difference between truth and its opposite, lies, error? What is truth? According to the Word of God, the answer is God is the ultimate truth, and He always tells the truth. Let's see what the Bible says about this. First, in a number of places, God is described as the God of truth. Psalm 31:5, Isaiah 65:16, Deuteronomy 32:4. In many other places, He's called the true God, as opposed to false gods that are only pretending to be true gods. God is the one and only true God. Exodus 34:6, God describes Him like this, and He gives a list of His different qualities. He says He is the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. Abounding in truth. 1 John 5:20 calls God Him who is true. In Revelation 6:10, Christians in heaven cry out, O Lord, holy and true. Now, the Holy Spirit is frequently called the Spirit of Truth. Jesus called Him the Spirit of Truth in John 14:17, 15:26, and 16:13. And John later called Him that also in 1 John 4:6. 1 John 5:6 says, the Spirit is the truth. And in John 16:33, Jesus said, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. Psalm 100, verse 5 says, His truth endures to all generations. Excuse me. Now, this is just a selection of verses from the Bible that tell us God is the ultimate truth. Well, what do we mean by the word truth? Well, the various Hebrew words in the Old Testament and Greek words in the New Testament, but they all basically mean the same thing in different shades and nuances. Words such as correctness, reality, rightness, veracity, actuality, genuineness, authenticity, factuality, or you could also say trustworthiness, dependability, sincerity. Now, those are all various other ways of saying truth, but you can compare it with its opposite, such as falsehood, lies, error, deceit, unreality, or fantasy. Now, according to the Bible, God is the ultimate truth. Therefore, he is opposed to and contrary to all error and all lies and all deceit. God is the truth. Therefore, everything that's contrary to God is false. Now, from Genesis to Revelation, it's an interesting thing we find literally on the first page and the last page of the Bible, what theologians call the antithesis. Antithesis means two things that are contrary to each other. We find this in the Bible, for example, in Genesis 1. God created light and separated it from the darkness. And he called one light and the other darkness. And we find that antithesis in the Bible. The other antithesis we find is like that. Light and darkness, truth and error, right and wrong. And those two are not compatible any more than light and darkness. The Bible says light came into the world. Men hate the light. They love darkness. But the light overcomes the darkness. Truth is not the same thing as error. A thing cannot be true and false at the same time in the same way. God says so and he has created like this. For example, we learn mathematics and we learn arithmetic. 1 + 1 = 2. 1 + 1 does not equal 3 or 26 or 157. And this is what is called the law of non-contradiction. That's the basis of all math, logic, and science, and God created it to be like that. If something is true, it is not false. If it is false, it is not true. How do we know the difference? Because God is the ultimate truth. Everything contrary to God is therefore false. 1 John 2:21 says, no lie is of the truth. Now, one of the shades of meaning to the word truth is reality. And we hear a lot of that word a lot these days. You hear about reality TV. Or sometimes a news reporter will say, we're going to do a reality check on a report. We hear about virtual reality and computer technology. But when you examine much of pop culture's idea of reality, you see that much of it is really fantasy, not reality. For example, much of what passes for reality TV is fixed. It's staged. And it has about as much reality as that so-called world-class championship wrestling. That's fake wrestling. And so a lot of the reality shows is staged to look real, and it's not real. One of the great comedians many years ago was asked in an interview, what's the real test of an actor? He says, oh, sincerity. If you can fake that, you can get away with anything. Well, that's like a person that says, if you can fake reality, then you can get away with anything. And so reality TV, reality checks in the media is often propaganda pieces, just like political spin. When something comes up, they put a certain spin to it to make them look right. And you begin to wonder, what is real after all? Is there any truth in the media? And that is why people wonder what is real and what is fantasy. And can we know the difference? Consequently, there has arisen in recent decade a very popular answer to all of this. And it's a philosophy called postmodernism. Maybe you've heard of it. How would you sum it up and describe this popular theory that floats around the universities, the media, and everywhere we go? Basically, it says this. There are no absolutes. There is no ultimate truth. Truth is what you make it to be. You have your truth, I have my truth, just like tastes. You like apple pie and I like chocolate pie. And they say, well, that's the way it is with truth. You make your own truth. There's nothing absolute. It's all relative. And what is your truth may not be true for me. And they say that's the way it is in fact, ethics, politics, whatever. Problem is, those that advocate that don't live up to it. You certainly cannot take that to the science lab and say, well, what's true for you is different from me. You try putting that in the science test tube. try that in the mathematics class, right, CJ? 1 + 1 = 2. And a person says, wait a second, you graded me wrong on this. For me, 1 + 1 = 26. And you'd say, sorry, for me, that's a failing grade. So you see, they cannot live with that. They cannot be consistent with that. And some people make it a world of fantasy, not a fact, because they say truth and reality is whatever you make it. Yeah, and then you have a crash with reality when you drive up against a tree that you thought, well, I'm just going to pretend that tree is not there. No. That whole philosophy is what Francis Schaeffer used to call an escape from reason, an escape from reality. People are living in a world of fantasy rather than truth because they don't have a grasp on what is real truth. They say truth is like personal taste, whatever you make it to be, and it varies from person to person. Kind of similar to forms of Eastern religions coming out of Buddhism and Hinduism. They say everything is Maya. What's Maya? Illusion. It's like clay, and you can mold it to be whatever you want it to be. And they say that is reality, whatever you want it to be. But that's not true. That is fantasy. That's non-truth, non-reality. Why? Because that whole idea, postmodernism or Maya or anything like that, is pure fantasy, make-believe. Why? Because it does not correspond with God or what God says about the universe in which we live. Postmodernism, therefore, is just another in a long line of examples of how human beings hate the truth of God and they love lies. In a word, we humans are natural born liars. Now let's look at some Bible verses on this. Turn with me first to Romans chapter 3. We read this earlier, but I want to point out one or two key phrases. Romans chapter 3. Verse 4. Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. In the book of Job, we're told that humans go astray from the womb speaking lies. We're natural born liars. It says, let every man be a liar. Now, we've all lied in one way or another. We don't lie all the time, but we mix truth and error. We tell huge lies. We call them whoppers. Or other times we just simply exaggerate something. And then we try to justify it and say it's a little white lie. But we lie. We believe lies. We lie to others. We lie to ourselves. We lie to God. Why? Because we have a distorted view of truth and error. So we believe lies. Which one of us doesn't believe lies when someone flatters us? We love to hear people say something about us that's not really that true, but we like to believe that, and we believe our own lies about ourselves. But, as we're told here, God never lies. He always tells the truth, and He doesn't believe our lies. He is the truth. Look at verse 7. The truth of God. Now that means the truth from God, about truth, about God. Who is the truth? So as we're floating and drowning in this sea of lies and error and fantasy and wondering what is the truth, the only anchor we have is in the Word of God about the truth of God and the God of truth. Now turn back just a couple of pages in Romans to another profound verse on this subject. Romans chapter 1. Verse 25. This section is talking about fallen man who is turned away from God and God is angry with us. Verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Goes on to say God has told every man about his existence, and in creation God has revealed certain things about himself. One of which is that there is a God and he is a God of truth and hates lies. But verse 25 says people don't like this. So it says they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And they worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So they take the truth of God that they learn from nature and conscience And they don't want it. They don't want the truth from God, about God, or about His universe. So they twist it and they exchange it for a lie that is very pleasing to their sinful hearts. They'd rather believe a lie about themselves and about God than to believe the truth about God or about themselves. And it says that they therefore worship and serve creatures. It goes on to say that this is the origin of idolatry. Look back at verse 23. That is the origin of all non-Christian religions. What is the Bible's estimation of them all? Very simple. According to God's estimation, non-Christian religions are by definition false religions because they are not the true religion. They worship false gods, not the true gods. Therefore, the prophets of false gods are false prophets, a term that's found over and over in Scripture. And when those false prophets write down their false prophecies in so-called holy books, those are not true books about the true God. They're books of lies and error and fantasy. People would say, that's not very politically or culturally correct. That's right. It's not politically correct. But it's true according to the Word of God. God is the one that tells us what is the truth. He is the truth. His Bible is the word of truth. And He sends us out to be like true preachers and true prophets. The only way we can know truth from error in the big things is from God Himself. Now, as we've seen here in Romans chapter 1, God speaks some of the truth about Himself. He doesn't say everything about Himself in nature. But in nature that He has created, He has said some things about who He is and what He is like and what He approves of and what He condemns. Though that is a true revelation, fallen mankind rejects it and he distorts it because he hates the truth. Mankind, therefore, hates what it says about him and about God. So God goes a step further. Aren't you glad God doesn't just leave us in that problem of not knowing truth and error because men are lost. They don't believe the truth of God. Therefore, God goes the extra step. And that's what the book of Romans tells us more about. God speaks, therefore, not just in nature. God says, let me speak some more truth to them so that this might lay the foundation for them to come to know me. The point is God speaks the truth because he is the truth. Isaiah 45:19 says, I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. God speaks according to his nature. He is the ultimate truth. Therefore, he always speaks the truth. He never lies. God never deceives. He never misleads. God never says one thing but means another. You see, these are little tricks that we learn. We'll say one thing, but we mean another. We exaggerate and that becomes a lie. God doesn't go in for any of that. God says what he means and means what he says. And whatever God says automatically corresponds with reality. Remember years ago there, that little phrase. They say, buddy, tell it like it is. God always tells it like it is, not like it isn't. He never says something and then we have to do a reality check on it. If God says it, it's true. What am I saying? God never, ever lies. He is the truth. He is incapable of lying. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. Notice the contrast. We're human beings. We're used to lying. We're living in a world filled with lies. God created this world, but he's not like us. He does not lie. In fact, Titus 1:2 says God cannot lie. He always speaks the truth. It's impossible for him to lie. In fact, those are the very words of Hebrews 6:18. It is impossible for God to lie. Since God is the perfect ultimate truth, it would go against his nature to tell a lie. Just like as we've seen in the series on the attributes of God. It's impossible for him to go against his nature. God is holy, therefore it's impossible for him to sin. God is the truth. It's impossible for him to lie. No, so therefore we can say it's impossible for God to lie, unlike us. Now, when you were children, you probably heard the little story, like I learned when I was a little child, about a little boy named George Washington. You know the story, where little George Washington had got a little hatchet and went out in the backyard and cut down the little cherry tree. Oh, when his father found out about it, he said, "Now, Georgie, the little cherry tree's down, and I see little chips of wood there. Do you know who cut it down?" And little George Washington said, "I cannot tell a lie. It was I that did it with my little hatchet." Very nice little moving story. Trouble is, it's not a true story at all. I did some research on this once. This story was invented about 100 years after Washington had died. None of his biographers record that. It was just a nice little story that's not true. And the irony is, the story is trying to say you should always tell the truth, and it's not a true story. Tells you that mankind has a loose idea of what truth is. Let me also put it like this. God never lies. God tells the truth. God is perfectly honest. The ancient Greeks told about a man named Diogenes who was a little weird. And they said he always was looking for an honest man. And he would go up and down the streets of Athens and Sparta and the other cities with a lantern in broad daylight looking for an honest man. And he never found one. He's right. None of us are perfectly honest. God is. God is always honest. God doesn't have to take an oath and say, "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God." He is God. And yet the Bible says there are occasions in which he swears. He always tells the truth, no matter what. His words are true according to the Bible. Psalm 33:4 says his works are true. Revelation 15:3 says his ways are true. Now, God speaks the truth, and he did it through prophets. He does it through nature. And then God goes the extra step and speaks the truth in a book called the Holy Bible. And God is the truth. In fact, there's an old saying, God is the truth, and the Bible is the truth about the truth. It's the infallible truth of God. Now, how does the Bible describe itself? Or to be precise, how does God describe his words in the Bible? Daniel 10:21 calls the Bible the scripture of truth. In John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Psalm 33:4 says, "The word of the Lord is right." Psalm 119:160 says, "The entirety of your word is truth." It's called the word of truth in 2 Corinthians 6:17, Ephesians 1:13, 2 Timothy 2:15, and James 1:18. It is the word of truth without any mixture of error. 2 Samuel 7:28 prays, "O Lord God, you are God and your words are true." And since God himself is the ultimate truth without any error, mistake, or lies, his word, therefore, has no errors, no mistakes, no contradictions, no myths. It is 100% infallible and inerrant. Now, inerrant simply means it has no errors from beginning to end. Infallible makes it a little bit stronger. You see, you might be able to write an inerrant piece of paper, a mathematical formula that's correct. It's in that sense inerrant, but that doesn't mean it's infallible. You could have made a mistake. The Bible is not only inerrant without mistakes, it could not be otherwise because it's the Word of God who cannot speak lies or error. He always speaks the truth. The Bible is true because it is the Word of God who is the truth. Now, as you know, there are many people that deny this. And I don't just mean non-Christians that say they're atheists or agnostics or whatever. Unfortunately, there are people even in churches that say that they're evangelical and on the way to heaven and believe in Jesus, that will deny it. Let me go on record and say this. Any preacher that stands in the pulpit that denies the infallibility of the Bible is a false prophet and should resign if he has any integrity. The Bible says it is true, and every preacher is sworn to believe it and preach it. But unfortunately, it's not just in pulpits. It's in the chairs and in the pews. People say, well, it's mostly true, but not in the scientific or the historical areas. Or maybe this is just some opinion, or maybe this is just an ancient Jewish myth, or things like that. Or they didn't know any better. We're living in a postmodern era. We know what's true and error. We know what's truth and error in a postmodern era? No. And there are many other ways people try to attack the Word of God. But as one old theologian said, when they attack the Bible, they're the ones that fail, because the Bible is an anvil that has worn out many a hammer. It is an infallible book because God is infallible. And to say that it has some errors in it is like saying, well, God is mostly holy, but God sometimes sins. Or like saying, well, God knows a lot, but he doesn't know everything. Or like saying God is in a lot of places, but he's not in every place. God is everywhere. He knows everything. He is perfectly holy and he is perfectly true. Therefore, his word is 100% factually correct and infallible. Why? Because it is the word of God who never lies or errs. Now, there's still another way in which God, who is the truth, speaks to us. He speaks truthfully in nature, but man distorts it. He speaks truthfully in the Bible, and people don't like it, so they distort it and reject it. But then there's another way God speaks. Hebrews 1 says, God has spoken in a variety of ways, but the culmination of what God says about himself is in a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, people might not read the Bible, but the Lord Jesus Christ comes to them, not just in a book, but in a person. God who becomes a man. Now listen to what the Bible says about Jesus Christ being the expression of the truth of God, because he is God. John 1:14 says, Jesus became flesh, full of grace and truth. And it goes on to say in verse 17, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:21 says, the truth as it is in Jesus. In Revelation 19, it says Jesus returns back to earth at the second coming, and he has various names written on him, and one of them is faithful and true. Remember I said God never lies? Jesus never lied. He was an honest man. He was the only man that ever lived that always told the truth. He was perfectly honest. He never lied. He never made mistakes. He never spoke errors. He never misled anybody. And sometimes Jesus had to speak hard truth. Have you ever had to do that as a parent, or maybe in your work? You have to speak the hard truth, and you know it's going to hurt someone, or it's going to be a disappointment. Sometimes we want to back off and we want to soft coat it, or just sometimes be silent. Jesus wasn't like that. He had to speak hard truth, and on some occasions knowing that the people would not believe him and they'd walk away from him. Look it up in John chapter 6. Huge crowds that even wanted to make him king. And Jesus said something and they said, this is a hard saying. So they packed up their belongings and they headed for the hills, and only a tiny group was left. Jesus was such an honest man, he would rather speak the truth and only a few people believe him than water it down and have a large crowd follow him. He was absolutely honest. In John 14:2, Jesus said this, if it were not so, I would have told you. Think about that. And then just a few verses later, Jesus said this in John 14:6, a powerful, profound statement. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the truth. People were wondering, where do I find truth? How do I identify it? Jesus said, just look at me. I am the truth. And the only way he could say that in an honest way is if he was actually the truth. So you can ask somebody, well, who do you believe Jesus was? Well, they believe he was a good man, but not God. But he claimed to be God. And they said, that's right. Wait a second. If he was a good man and he was honest, how could he claim to be God if he wasn't God? He was honest when he said, I am the truth. In other places where he claimed to be God in the flesh, he could say it and get away with it because he's honest. And he was speaking the truth. He is God in the flesh. God who is the truth. Now let me show you an interesting talk that Jesus had with someone. So turn with me next to the Gospel of John. In John 18. This was early on that Good Friday morning, and Jesus had been arrested. He had already been condemned by the Jewish leaders. Now he was on trial before the Roman governor named Pontius Pilate. For most of the conversation, Jesus was very quiet, didn't say anything. And then Pilate charged him, and look at the conversation as we pick it up in John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So he's saying, I'm speaking the truth. Now look at Pilate said. Pilate said to him, what is truth? Now, it could have been that Pilate was maybe reading some Roman philosophy and wondering, well, what is truth? But more likely, he said it kind of cynically. Truth? Ha! What is truth? I hear it from the Jews, the Romans, the Greeks. Ha! I've given up on this. The thing is, and as you probably heard it put, truth was standing right in front of him. And he didn't listen. He didn't believe. He didn't hear it. So when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said, well, I find no fault in him. He just wanted to get this man out of his way. And he washed his hands and said, well, you go and crucify him yourselves. But look at the question. What is truth? He's standing right in front of them. The very embodiment of truth was the Lord Jesus Christ. What is truth? That's what the Greeks used to ask, the Romans and everyone else. What is truth? It is not a philosophy. It is not a principle. It is a person. God, and now come in the flesh, right there. The Lord Jesus Christ is God who is truth in the flesh. Now, let's back up in our message. Remember I talked about that antithesis. Light versus darkness, truth versus error. If Jesus, therefore, is the truth, and God is the truth, what's the antithesis? We say, well, error, lies, yeah. What would be the personal antithesis, the very opposite? The prince of lies, Satan. He's called the prince of darkness. He is the very opposite of God, the very antithesis of Jesus Christ. Now turn back to John 8 in your Bible and we'll see what Jesus said about this. The Bible describes him as the prince of darkness, not the prince of light. Jesus is the prince of light. And then Jesus said something not only profound, but powerful. John 8:44. And he's speaking this to religious leaders. He said, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires, and that's not just talking about them, that's talking about fallen mankind in general. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. That is his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Now, what he's saying there applies to all mankind because we're natural born sinners. He says early in this chapter, we are children of the devil. He is our father. We have that same evil nature that believes lies and not the truth. Satan hates God. He hates the truth. And we have that same nature. And on this occasion, those leaders were getting ready to murder the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus sees through and says, you want to murder me because you're like your father who is also a murderer. But notice what he says about him. The prince of darkness, Satan, says he doesn't stand in the truth. He doesn't stand for the truth. He was in heaven. He got kicked out of heaven because he believed his own lies, trying to become another God. And Satan, therefore, is a liar. And Jesus pulls his mask off him and says, there is no truth in him. There is all truth in God. There is no truth in the devil. He says, so therefore, when he speaks according to his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies. Where do lies come from? The devil, not from God. God always speaks the truth. Where does all the lies and error in the world comes from? Jesus tells us, from its father, the devil. So just like truth is not just a philosophy, but a person, lies and error comes from a person named Satan. Now, remember at the beginning of the message, I talked about that riddle of the stranger coming up the crossroads and meeting a group of a man from one group of people that always speaks the truth and the other one always speaks lies. God always speaks the truth and he wants his people always speak the truth. Satan lies and he gets his people to tell lies. We're at that crossroads. Which one are we going to follow? Now, Satan lies, but he's clever enough to mix truth with his lies because he knows some people will back off from a bald-faced lie. So he mixes his poison with something sweet to drink. And so people fall for it. And we find that at the very beginning of human history. Satan slithered into the Garden of Eden and comes up to Eve and mixes truth with lies. And she believes it. Therefore, she believes his lies. He's the father of lies. He continues to lie, and he lies not just himself, but he lies through other people. What's Satan's lies? Well, Satan lies kind of like this. He lies to us and says, live for this world. Don't worry about the next world. There's no hell. There's just a heaven. God didn't mean it when he says there's a place called hell for those that die in their sins. Live it up. This is what life is all about. You can trust me. You can't trust him. He is a liar. Unfortunately, Eve believed him. And people are still believing his lie. Remember Romans 1. People believe the lie of the devil rather than the truth of God. So the devil says, live for this world. There's no hell afterwards for those that die in their sins. Oh, yeah. God says that there is. Revelation 21:8 says hell is prepared for unrepentant liars that die in their sins. Eve believed Satan's lies, but then in the desert temptation, Jesus did not. Jesus was tempted by the devil, and the devil mixed truth and error and even quoted scripture and lied. And Jesus didn't fall for any one of them because he never believes the devil's lies. So we're like at that crossroads. Are we going to believe Jesus Christ, who always tells the truth, or are we going to believe the devil? You're at that crossroads. Which one do you believe? Mankind naturally believes Satan's lies because Satan finds an echo in our evil nature, and so we find it easy to believe his lies, and we find it hard to believe God's truth. We love lies and hate the truth. So what's the answer to this dilemma? How do we get out of this when we come to that crossroads? We need to be set free from the lies of Satan. We're born, as it were, locked up in a chain of Satan's lies, and we believe those lies. We have to be set free. How? There's only one way. The Bible tells us, faith in Jesus Christ, who comes to set us free. Look back at John chapter 8, a little bit earlier in the chapter, verse 32. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. By believing the truth in the Bible about what God says about Jesus Christ, you can be saved from the lies of the prince of lies. And that's the only way to be freed from the devil and his lies. Now let's get some brief applications on what we've said about God being the truth and speaking the truth. Number one, believe God. To believe someone is to agree that what that person says is truth. For example, if I were to come to you and say, there's a gray horse out in our parking lot. You just go over there to the window and look out there and say, I don't see any gray horse. I don't believe you. Now, of course, that's a trick question because Steve would say, there's a gray horse out there. It's a gray Mustang that somebody in this church drives to church on Sunday. Trick question. But let me also put it to you another statement, and I would make some assertion. And you'd say, nope, I don't believe you. When you say you don't believe someone, what you're saying is, I don't believe that what you're saying is true. You could be tricking me. You could be lying to me. You could be mistaken. Or maybe you're just joking with me, but I don't believe you. To believe someone is to believe that what he is saying is the truth. And when you say that's not the truth, you're saying you don't believe him. The Bible tells us to believe God. To believe God is to agree that God is the truth and he speaks the truth. Listen to John 3:33. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. Now, we quoted John 8. Let me read you a couple of other verses. 45 and 46, Jesus said, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Now, just think about that. Jesus always told the truth. People read this and they still can't come to that point of saying, I believe Jesus Christ when he spoke these things, when he said he's the way, the truth, and the life, when he says he's God in the flesh, when he says that he's the Savior from our sins. I just can't believe that. And I've heard people say, I wish I could believe that. You can believe it. Because God calls upon you to do this. Later in John, actually in John chapter 4, Jesus was speaking with a woman. The woman at the well, and she was from Samaria, lived a very immoral life. And Jesus was speaking to her, and she kept dodging the questions and things like that. And finally, Jesus said something very profound. He says, woman, believe me. As we read the narrative, we find she did come to believe what Jesus was saying. But it wasn't just believing what he said. He said, believe me. That's what God says to each and every one of us. Believe me. You may wonder, what does God really want from us? Does he want our money? Well, in a way, yeah, but he doesn't need our money. The thing that God wants from us most of all, of course, is our love and our worship. But there's a first step we have to take. And it's like God says, this is the first thing I want you to do. And you say, what do you really want me to do? And God says, I really want you to believe me. Believe that what I say is true. And that's the first step. You'll never be able to love God or to worship God or to follow God or to know God until you take that first step where you say, I believe God. Not because I figured it all out and understand it or I find out that its opposite is not true. You know, that going through, you know, the process of elimination. No, you believe it because God says so. That's naked faith based upon simply the word of God himself. To believe God is to believe that what God says is true. Now let's turn that around like they would do in logic. To believe what God says is true is to believe God. Therefore, not to believe God is to call God a liar. 1 John 5:10 says, he who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his son. There's no neutrality. We might try to squirm and rearrange natural revelation, but when we hear the word of God and when we read it and it hits us square in our head and in our hearts, we either believe it or we don't. There's no neutrality. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You either believe it's true or you do not. And if you do not, you are calling God a liar. But if you believe it, you're saying God is true. There is no in between. And if you do not believe the Bible or the gospel, you're calling God a liar. Do you see the implications of that? The Bible says, let God be true, though we are the liars. And truth will out at the judgment day. But there's more to that. Who is the father of lies? Satan. And when we do not believe God and saying he is a liar, in effect, we are saying God is the devil. And when we believe Satan, it's as if we are saying he is the father of truth. We're going to believe him. We're making the devil God. We're making God the devil. We've got it all backwards. It's that important. So what does God say? He says, believe me. Believe that God is the father of truth, not of lies or error. Number two. Jesus went on to say something else to that woman at the well. He said in verse 24, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's our second application. Worship God in spirit and truth. This woman was a Samaritan and they had some truth, but a lot of errors. Therefore, it was a false religion and false attitudes, and it was all lies, and she was mixed up in that, and Jesus set her straight and put her on the narrow road, and she had true religion. What does he mean? Worship God in spirit and in truth. Basically this. We worship God who is true, the true God. We worship him according to the truth he says about himself in the Bible, and we worship him with true motives and true attitudes in the heart. True attitudes such as praise, love, faith, joy, and submission. And so when Jesus said, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth, I ask you, do you worship God in truth? Thirdly and lastly, speak the truth, not lies. Brethren, when we speak the truth, we imitate God. But when we lie, we imitate the devil. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love. And then in verse 25, put away lying. Colossians 3:9, do not lie to one another. Zechariah 8:16, speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Proverbs 8:7, my mouth shall speak truth. Now we should do this not just when we're under oath to swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. We should speak the truth at all times. You know the old saying about how can you tell if such and such a person is lying? Answer, his lips are moving. But you see, it begins in the heart. Psalm 51:6 says, you desire truth in the inward parts. And there's no justification for lying. No little lies. People say, they're little white lies. And as the old wise Scotsman said, nay, laddie, they're all black. There are no white lies. People try to justify lying, saying you can lie for a higher good or for a good cause. Go back to Romans chapter 3 again. That's like saying you can do evil so that good may abound. And Paul says, nope, that's like saying you can sin in order to please God or for a higher purpose. No, the end never justifies the means. But then there's another kind of lying that many people do. It's not just out there or in here. It's often in churches. There's a kind of lying that God particularly detests. And you know what that is? Religious lying. Religious hypocrisy. When people saying they're right with God and oh, they're so holy, but they're not. You see, we might believe our own lies. Other people might believe our lies. We might believe their lies. God doesn't believe our lies about ourselves when we pretend to be righteous or holy, or when we pretend to be Christians when we are not. That's religious hypocrisy. And Jesus would have nothing of it. You know, that's at least one thing that non-Christians hate. They may swim through this swamp of lies and mendacity and hate it, but nobody likes hypocrisy. And nobody hates hypocrisy more than God does. So rather, what should we do? Speak the truth, not lies. Believe the truth, brethren. Speak the truth and live the truth. May the God of truth, our Father, help us to believe the truth, speak it, and live it. For God's glory. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you love us enough to tell us the truth, even when the truth hurts us. Transform us by the truth, free us from the truth, help us to love the truth, and to love you who are the ultimate truth. Help us, Father, then to be truth tellers and truth livers, and in that way, imitate our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.